Welcome to the Education Marketing Leader Podcast with Chris Raposo. If you're looking to dive into the latest industry insights, draw inspiration from education success stories, or just want to sharpen your marketing skills, you're in the right place. Here, we bring you a diverse range of voices from experts and leaders in the field, offering you a unique blend of professional development and practical strategies. Whether you want to understand your audience better, stay updated with the latest tech trends in marketing, or expand your professional network, we've got you covered. So while you're driving on your morning commute or winding down after a busy day, let's explore the dynamic world of education marketing together.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Education Marketing Leader with Chris Raposo. Today, my guest is joining me from the Sunshine State out of Miami, Florida. His name is Jan Nimeroff, and he is the Assistant Professor in Communication Studies at Miami-Dade College, and he is also the host of the Non-Traditional Scholar podcast. Jan, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for the introduction, and it's a pleasure to be here.
It is a pleasure to have you. So I was on Jan's podcast maybe a year ago or so. It's a great experience, and he's super knowledgeable about how to market to non-traditional students, knows the ins and outs about that target audience. And I wanted to have him on to help my audience figure out how to properly communicate with non-traditional students to get them on campus and set them up for success. So like I mentioned, Jan, you build a podcast around the experiences of non-traditional students or non-traditional scholars, as you call them. What are some of the biggest misconceptions higher ed marketers have about this audience?
Firstly, I think one of the larger misconceptions is what that term actually describes. So the definition of a non-traditional student or a non-traditional scholar is very vast in terms of who encompasses that. So I think some marketers, initially, they may perceive the archetype of a non-traditional student to be fitting in one particular avenue, perhaps a parent, a single parent, or a full-time worker, older, perhaps a student that may be a military veteran. But essentially, what I think marketers should realize is that when you are thinking about a non-traditional student, you should focus the perception on that as anyone that can be within either of those benchmarks. So in other words, they could be a parent, they could be a full-time worker, they could be a military veteran, they could be an older student. But essentially, the way that I define it is anyone that did not take the traditional route towards college. Yep. That essentially is how I envision a non-traditional student and essentially a non-traditional scholar. Anyone that did not take the direct route from high school, mm-hmm. and then jump to college and then finish college within that 4-year or 2-year forecast, that's a non-traditional student. So in that definition and in that understanding, you can see how vast and how wide that net casts.
That is so true. There's so many different aspects about non-traditional students. Like you just mentioned, you mentioned the parents, you know, and I know that you, one of our mutual friends, Maria Kunz, you had her on your show, and the story she told about bringing her son to her classes and he was sitting outside in the hallway. Yes. I highly recommend anybody listening to this to check out that episode with Maria Kunz, and I'm going to tag it in the recap as well, because it's great. Just such a powerful story, and I want everybody to know about it. But yeah, it's a lot going on, you know, for non-traditional students. So for traditional students, however, marketers often focus on the college experience. What messaging shifts need to happen when marketing to working professionals, parents, and career changers?
I think the key is relevance. For non-traditional students, what appeals to someone who takes the non-traditional route is, how is it relevant to me and what I'm looking to do within my life? How can I take what you are appealing to me, marketing to me, and how can you connect that to the relevance of my aspirations, of my goals, of my decisions to actually return and finish what I originally started perhaps many years ago, or maybe a little while back. So I think relevance is at the core to appealing to non-traditional students. They walk into the classrooms with the same intention, whether it's a virtual class, an in-person class, an asynchronous online class, or a synchronous online class where they meet via Zoom. They want to know how what they're learning matters in terms of who they are. How can they take what they're learning and connect it to the relevance of their everyday lives? And I think that should be at the core of marketing towards a non-traditional student.
Yeah, lead with the outcome and the marketing message, and then also know your audience, right? Why are they stopping their life to take a significant amount of time and resources to go to school to finish something, a degree that may elevate them, or that should elevate them to a higher status, or whatever they're looking for, whether they're lifelong learners or whether they are looking to move up in their careers. But let's talk about some of the people that you've come across during your podcast journey. Have you come across any particular compelling student success stories there that would make great marketing content for higher education marketers?
I think to answer that question, Chris, we're going to have a second episode, because there are so many, and they all bring value and inspiration, and they all deserve a platform to have their story be told, like yours and your 4,000-mile journey from Germany to here, and deciding to go back to school from the community college out in Tampa and finishing at UF. You know, that is an inspirational story in itself. Mm-hmm. I'd like to mention that the stories that I curate are an inspiration to me. And one thing that I would like to highlight before I answer your question is that marketers, to create that answer to the why of the non-traditional student and to also appeal to the relevance, I think marketers and professors on my side of the institution, we should collaborate more. Because if you find out what the instructor's intention is with their curriculum and why they're actually teaching the way that they do and their purpose for educating the students, I think that in itself, the information provided by the faculty to the marketer can curate an appeal curate the information needed to appeal to the non-traditional student. Once that integration or the gap between one and the other is narrowed and it's more integrated, I feel that what we are all trying to do will make a bigger impact for the audience, whether it's traditional, non-traditional. But I feel that there is a gap between the faculty end of the institution and the end of the other side of the institution, which is actually marketing towards this audience. My audience in particular are non-traditional students like yourself and like myself and like the many others that have shared their testimonies on my podcast. But students as a whole, I feel at the education level that we are currently in and in the context that we are currently educating, there seems to always be this either or this versus in terms of the opportunities for students to pursue an education. For example, education and higher education, a four-year degree, as opposed to a trade or a vocational or a technical degree. And there's this divide that seems to separate them as opponents or either or. And I don't see them as either or, and I think we need to market it more as options, not versus, options. Because there could be a non-traditional student who feels that the technical trade certification works better for them. But they shouldn't feel that that is opposed to the four-year degree that other non-traditional students are looking to pursue and realize in their life. And I think one story in particular from my podcast that speaks to that is the story of an entrepreneur by the name of Gloria Rodriguez. She was the second non-traditional testimony that was shared on my podcast. Gloria was incredibly successful. She started out as a high school dropout, and she eventually turned that difficult situation into a successful business with her husband. She opened up a pizza restaurant, and the pizza restaurant is very successful in the Miami Lakes area, but she felt it wasn't enough, and she felt that there was something missing. So later on in her life, I won't date her per se, but let's say in her mid to late 40s, she decided to take a chance and come back to school and finish what she started for her grandchildren, for her children, and for who ultimately inspired her, which was her grandmother. So even though she was very successful with her business ventures, she thought that there was still a void that needed to be fulfilled. And I can safely say that as of today, she finished her two-year degree with honors from Miami-Dade College. And she is not only still running that business, but now she is a substitute teacher in Miami-Dade Public Schools and on the verge of earning her bachelor's degree to become an elementary school teacher.
That's amazing. Those are the stories, you know, that drive you as a higher ed professional, whether it's faculty or marketer, to continue the work that you're doing. And then the other thing you said about the four-year degree versus the trades degree, right? To communicate that one is not lesser than the other, because the conception is like, well, if you don't get the four-year degree and the white-collar route, you're a little beneath the pole there, which, you know, that's something that's been indoctrinated into us over decades, because the route, when you go through high school, it's always like the expectation for most people is, well, you got to go to college, otherwise you're not a success. But that sort of success looks different for everybody, right? Because I worked in the trades first in Germany. I realized that was not the route for me. That's why I went back. But there are other people that are good with their hands, and they're being shoved into a four-year degree, right? Accountancy, for example, they walk around miserable for the rest of their lives, right? But if they would make the switch, or if they're going to make the switch, some of these folks, they're going to thrive in those careers. And the other thing I want to say, what if we're all having four-year degrees in communications? Who's going to, you know, take care of the plumbing? Who's going to take care of housing, right?
Different
folks, different people for different jobs there.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think one of the key factors is being able to appeal and convince the audience, traditional or non-traditional, that transition from going into plumbing and then deciding that, you know, after 10, 20 years working in the plumbing or working in the HVAC industry, something's missing. The transition to going back, it shouldn't be as uncomfortable, or it shouldn't be as perceived to be as challenging to going from one to the other. So I think a lot of institutions are trying to combat that preconceived perception where it's either or the transition is very difficult to go from either or. It's just options, and the options are readily available. As a matter of fact, I know many institutions across the country, when it comes to non-traditional students, one of the perks that they offer is that if you have a career that you've worked in for a number of years, let's say 5-6 years, and you have work experience, that work experience can transfer to credits. You know, and I know that a lot of non-traditional students, based off of my podcast and interacting with, they were not aware of that. And even at Miami-Dade College, there is a program where your work experience in said career, if it's transferable for the major that you are pursuing, they will transfer, and that will transfer as credits, so you can finish faster.
Yeah. I heard of somebody like that. He built a successful security business, and he was out of South Florida, and his college came to him and they said, hey, we want to give you a master's degree just because you did what you did throughout your entire lifetime, right? So that's the one option you have to communicate. And the other thing is, we often talk about accessibility, but in terms of like visually impaired or people that are in wheelchairs, right? That's what we think when we think accessibility, getting into college. That's what we think about. What about the people that, like we just talked about, that are busy with their lives, that cannot go to campus, that cannot go to the in-person classes, right? The accessibility in that way is either weekend classes offered or online classes offered with the same curriculum and the same rigor and the same educational benefits. Right. So we want to talk about that as well. And that's what, when I went to the University of Florida, they did a fine job communicating that you get the same degree than the people that are on campus taught by the same faculty, because sometimes there's still this stigma about online education where people think it's as easier or not as robust as the ones that are on campus.
Right. Right. And I feel that institutions and marketing should continue to do a great job at clarifying that that modality going online does not do the student a disservice. You will still receive the same quality of education. You will still receive the same rigor, and you will still experience the same academic curriculum at the level of in-person, if you go in-person, or if you go online, or if you decide to go evenings, or if you decide to go weekends. I think for the non-traditional student, let's say their life led them down a path where maybe they're not as technologically savvy, and the fact that the modality of online may cause them to fear having to experience education through the screen because they're not comfortable with the technology and they don't necessarily feel like they can relate to the professor as much. So I think marketing and institutions should continue to do a better job of breaking that misconception. One thing that I've noticed is that at my institution specifically, there's two types of modalities that are offered to students when it comes to the online pursuit. One is asynchronous, where you take the classes at your own pace and you receive the syllabus and all of the modules and you have the deadlines and everything is presented to you. So it's not necessarily like you are going to meet the professor at a certain day and time and the professor is going to give you a lecture. The online asynchronous modality is more for the adult student or the student that feels that they're more self-sufficient, independent, and they're able to go through the modules and everything is clearly put together and they know the deadlines and they go through it at their own pace and they periodically meet with the professor. So for some students, that's ideal. But then the second modality online that we offer here is synchronous, where let's say you have a very busy schedule and you can't come to campus. Well, we'll do the class through Zoom. So you'll meet with me through Zoom, like we're meeting now at a day and time, and we'll have our lecture and I will interact with you. And I'll go through the PowerPoint and I'll go through the chapters and we'll have the class through the Zoom class. So you can do it from your home. You can do it from wherever you may be, but you don't have to come to class at that day and time. So it gives you some more flexibility. And at the same time, you still have the rapport that some students need with the professors. That's so awesome. I think those options help for sure.
Hey everyone, thanks so much for tuning into the show today. I hope you enjoyed so far. Have you ever thought about starting your own podcast, but were just overwhelmed by the sheer amount of work that goes into it? I get it. After producing over 100 episodes for the Education Marketing Leader, there's a lot of time that goes into this, time that most of us simply don't have. And that's where the Education Marketing Leader podcast production service comes into play. Me and my team will take care of the heavy lifting from scripting, strategy, editing to promoting. All you have to do is show up, record your episode, share your expertise, connect with your audience, and build your personal brand. So if you've been sitting on a podcast idea, today is the time to act. Reach out to me via DM on LinkedIn, and we'll get you started. And now, back to the episode.
Helps a lot. Helps a lot.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I did one of those. So when I went to HCC in Tampa, I went in person. Like after work, I just went to campus and I did that, you know, just fine. It was a kind of a headache at some points because sometimes I had to go to a campus that was like an hour away from my home for a class. And I was like, holy cow, I got home at like 10:30, 11 at night, right? Not ideal.
No.
But for a semester, I could do it. But if it's like an ongoing thing, that would not be feasible. And then with the University of Florida, I was online, but sometimes I tuned into a class through a Zoom, like camera, into the classroom. That's kind of cool too, you know? So you
can
interact with the professors there as well. So
So
let's talk. I mean, you're a professor of communications, you know, so, you know, you teach that. So for non-traditional students, you know, like we just talked about, they juggle their jobs, families, responsibilities, financial constraints. You know, what are some of the marketing channels and formats that best help communicate to them? And then don't shy away from traditional media, because sometimes I think that if you're in a dead-end job and you hate what you do and you commute home, one of those billboards that show you hope may be the answer there too.
So I think in terms of marketing to the very busy non-traditional student where life is just lifing, I think the best way to appeal to them is by being straightforward and clear in terms of how this can make a difference in their lives. They don't like too many bells and whistles, and they don't seem to be entertained by too much fluff. You know, they want A, B, C, and they don't want any surprises along the way. So I feel one way to appeal to this audience would be through not necessarily social media, not necessarily traditional media with commercials and ads, more so through what they engage in. And believe it or not, a lot of the non-traditional students that I encounter, they seem to be very entertained and interacting with platforms like Spotify. So there's been a slight shift in terms of the non-traditional students that come to my class, because it seems that they enjoy more receiving information and being connected to shows like podcasts on platforms like Spotify or Apple Podcast. So I think in that avenue, which is very innovative, especially for how people perceive non-traditional students. But non-traditional students can be 24, can be 25. So the younger non-traditional students seem, in my experience, to be more open to receiving that type of appeal through platforms like Spotify, and less dismissive compared to social media. Social media, it's easier for them to swipe, but if they're on Spotify, they're there because they're willing to listen, and they're in their car driving, dealing with 1 hour traffic. So what better way to give them an opportunity to listen to how said institution or higher education can make an impact on them? So because, again, the definition of a non-traditional student, the net is so wide. For the younger non-traditional students, 24, 25, 26, my recommendation would be to market more through those platforms where podcasts are being listened to, and that channel is more open towards engaging with them. For the older non-traditional students, I think that they would be more willing to be open to the marketing and to the advertising and to the intention of the ad through Facebook and perhaps TikTok. If they are engaged with those, I think that if they find someone that they are connected to, one way to have them be more open is if whoever they follow or whoever they are actually interested in engaging with on a daily basis, because they spend a lot of time on this device, marketing should try to find a way to collaborate with them. Just like marketing should collaborate with faculty, I think marketing should also collaborate with those, I guess the word would be influencers, on those platforms to connect with that audience. So I would say podcasting, platforms like Apple Podcasts, like Spotify, and the traditional social media platforms that the older population typically engages with would be avenues. And another way I think that would be innovative is if the marketing would come to the classroom. So a guy like me, if I would see the value in what you guys do, me and you would collaborate one day, and I would give you a class period to market to my audience. Nice. You know, and I think that that in itself can give you a lot of insight, because you can have a discussion with my audience, and I think that's valuable too.
Yes, you get first party data right there in the classroom.
Exactly.
Now, the other thing that I heard, having those commercials on Spotify, you can go directly to the non-traditional scholar host and tell him you want to sponsor his episode, and then he's going to drop a name for your
for sure and we can have a conversation, you know. Absolutely.
So what are some of the biggest concerns non-traditional students have considering higher education and going back to schools? Is it financial? Is it the timing? What have you heard?
It's multifaceted. So it's layered. For some, it will be the finances. And it's the finances in terms of, I'm a non-traditional student. When I left, I didn't leave on good standing. I left and I just left because life was lifing. So I left withdrawing from a bunch of classes. Now I want to come back and I see that there's financial aid and I see all of this marketing for resources. And I see that I have, you know, this non-traditional scholar center here that can help me with childcare and whatnot. But when I come back, I find out surprisingly that I'm on academic probation. So that means that all of that isn't available for me yet. And that surprise can deter, which deters many non-traditional students. So again, be upfront, you know, don't show the carrot and highlight the carrot and make the person feel like the carrot is attainable. And then when they go to reach for the carrot, oh, there's a cage that stops them. And I think that when it comes to finances, that is a big problem for a lot of non-traditional students, because many leave on bad terms and they have to make up, and then they have to start from behind. And starting from behind also means that because they're on academic probation, they don't have the financial aid right away and they have to pay out of pocket. So that can be a very big deterrent for sure.
It's a huge blocker right there. If you get that, if somebody who finally makes that step and it's like, oh, wait a minute, it's going to take this and that and that. And how would you suggest them overcoming that friction?
I think honesty and integrity and being authentic to the audience, and also realizing, because the net is so wide, that some of the marketing needs to be individualized or case by case. So you might have more than one ad for more than one audience, more than one non-traditional audience that answers that. You know, I think that would be very important. You know, and the ads should be as nuanced as the audience, for sure.
Yeah, so we're talking about being a little bit more personal. So there is a huge shift towards personalization. You know, how can institutions make their outreach feel more tailored and relevant to non-traditional students without it feeling just like another automated campaign?
Right. That is, I believe, vital for the audience that we're talking about. They've been duped a lot in life, you know, and they don't want to be, they're tired of having the wool pulled over their eyes. And if they're going to pursue this, they want to pursue this in a way where it's clear, where it's easily understood, and all of the difficulties are addressed up front, so they're aware and they can make a sound decision and know that they'll follow through with the decision. If the surprises come along the way and they weren't expecting the surprises, then the outside responsibilities, the outside obligations become louder and they become less invested in what they originally signed up for.
Yeah, that is deep. The voices of doubt become louder, and then it's almost like a confirmation to their fears, like, this is what I thought, you know, this is happening, so might as well not go through with it. But say somebody's listening here from a higher ed institution, they're determined to widen their net because of the demographic enrollment cliff and bring more non-traditional students into their institution to balance the scale from the loss of traditional age students. What advice would you give them to create a more welcoming and inclusive environment?
One, let me first congratulate you all who are doing this work. You are to be commended. I know it's difficult. I know it can be challenging. I know that sometimes at certain institutions, they expect you, the one person that you are, to do 100 different things. So I commend the work that you do. And I think in higher education, that is the way it is for a lot of us. We're just one person. We're trying to make a world of difference, but we are trying to plug up 3,000, 4,000 holes in one day. So that is difficult in itself to deal with, but we are determined and we are committed to the work that we do. So how? Well, to create an inclusive environment, I think first, the resources available need to not feel as if one resource is opposed to the other. Provide all of the resources as options and make the options feel like they are interconnected. Meaning that if they decide that they want to go down the 2-year trade route, because they want to be an HVAC technician. And along the way, they feel that the HVAC route isn't working for them. Let them realize up front that transitioning to something else is not difficult and it's not uncomfortable. Let that transition be more fluid. Two, realize that who you are appealing to, that is a very wide audience. So try to make it as personal as possible. Make it as personal. The stories matter. And I think sometimes instead of marketing the KPIs and the resources, a non-traditional student themselves should be the story, because that story that you are advertising can speak volumes to the other person on the other side of the screen. So I think getting connected to people who've actually went the route and were able to accomplish the route and have varying stories, not just one non-traditional student, have one non-traditional student that was older, have one non-traditional student who decided to go into accounting, but then eventually shifted and turned out to finish with carpentry, have another non-traditional student who, like Maria Kunz, had their child in the classroom. You know, I think that there should be a variety of stories being told to the audience, so the audience doesn't feel like it's just one type of non-traditional student when it varies. It varies. The resources, being upfront and also being honest about the challenges that might come their way. Don't dangle the carrot and just show them the stage. I think it's important to mention to them that, you know, this might come, but we're ready to help you through it. It's not a deterrent. It's something that we're aware of and that we can work with you to get through it, right? We're here to help you through, to get you across the stage, to finish what you started. All the while, the storm still will arise. We'll still be there to help you through it. So I think honesty, I think being very personal. And I also, I truly believe that, you know, making the resources feel like they're all options and they're not either or are integral to convincing someone like you, someone like me, someone that was who we were years ago to take the decision and make that step towards a higher education.
Beautiful. How can people get in touch with you and where can they find your podcast? Tell them a little bit about your podcast as well.
So, like we mentioned, I have a podcast called the Non-Traditional Scholar Podcast. It is a podcast designed to have these types of stories be told. Stories like Chris, stories like Gloria, stories like Maria, stories like mine. We also go in depth regarding higher education and some of the trials and tribulations and some of the work people like Chris and other people in higher education, the work, the good work that they're doing. I'm on all podcast platforms. You just search the Non-Traditional Scholar. You can find me on Spotify. If you want to reach me personally, if you want to collaborate, my email is ynemiroff@mdc.edu. I'm here to collaborate. I'm here to build that bridge and connect with people that are like-minded and are doing the work that we're doing to help more people realize the value of higher education and finish what they start.
Professor Nemiroff, thank you so much for being part of the Education Marketing Leader Podcast.
Thank you so much, Chris, for having me. This was an honor and a pleasure, and thank you again.
Take care.
Take care.
And that's a wrap for this episode, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in to Education Marketing Leader Podcast this week. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to share it with your friends and your network. And if you ever thought about starting your own podcast, now that you listen to one and you got inspired, reach out to me via DM. We'd love to help you launch your own. We'll take care of everything for you, the scripting, the strategy, the editing, the distribution. All you have to do is show up, connect with your audience, and build your personal brand. So if you're ready for it, let's chat. And for everybody else, we'll see you next time at the Education Marketing Leader Podcast. Take care, friends.